Hey, how are you doing? So this is episode 16 of Swift Over Coffee. It's actually the very first one where it's literally over coffee, because I record at like midnight at night, because he's in the Pacific time, so it's the last thing I want to stay up in the middle of the night. So we actually have no expense spared actual coffee this time.
That is amazing? True, that is true.
Yeah, well done, Skills Matter.
Thank you.
No expense spared.
I like my coffee a little sugary and foo-foo-y with whipped cream, so it's not my style.
So it's the first time we're doing a live episode. We've got no idea how it's going to work out. I think you probably have no idea either. We're going to kind of wing it. Do you want to kind
little
of
bit, little bit.
Show explain how the show works? Or just
yeah, I can explain. So normally the format, it's a quick half-hour show, and we do that intentionally because we just want to get right into it. You know, a lot of podcasts can ramble on for on and on, kind of like I'm doing now. We just want to jump right into it. So we do a quick little intro, a news section. We do each do a pick for an episode, and some open ballot where we put out a tweet, and then we get response from the community.
Yeah. So this time, I hope you've all been enjoying the conference so far. I've had a great time. It's lovely being here in London, one of my favorite events. This one, obviously, it's a home crowd. It was Sean's first talk yesterday. Yep. Wasn't he amazing? Wasn't he amazing?
Thank you. Yeah.
Not only his first talk, he had to do live coding as well. Go transatlantic. I mean, just incredible. Good effort, Sean.
I was a walking zombie yesterday when I gave my talk, so I hope it didn't come across. But I got about 10 hours of sleep last night, so I'm a new person. We're good to go.
Yeah. So let's talk about some news, because this week we had some very exciting news. Sean, what happened just yesterday?
I don't want to talk about it. We're not going to talk about it. I didn't get it. In case you couldn't tell by that response. So it was my first time ever getting the lottery, so I can't complain too much, right? It's my first try. But yeah, did you get a ticket?
I did get a ticket, yeah. So I got a ticket yesterday. Get that. The first thing you hear, if you haven't had before, is you get a receipt from Apple. Not even a confirmation of you're going to go. It's like, you've just paid us £1,200 for the right to win the lottery. So yes, I have got the right to go again. It's my fourth time going
now.
But to be fair, it used to be in the old days, back when I was a lad, you know, in the old days of iOS, it wasn't even a lottery. It was first come, first serve. And it was usually around noon UK time, so a lot of the Californians were still in bed. Actually, I used to get a phone call from Apple saying, be next to the computer in 5 minutes. Like, it was almost no warning, and you're there, ready, you know, refresh, go. So yes, it wasn't all luck.
I mean, a little bit. I was refreshing like mad last night. Paul was like, hey, I got my email. Did you get your email? And I'm like, no, every 5 minutes refreshing. And then there was a rumor that it might happen like, you know, a rollout slowly. So spent all night like scrolling, and then finally when I woke up this morning, I got the good old rejection email. So.
But you did get an email from Apple, didn't you?
Stop. So I tweeted it out, I did. This is at like 10 o'clock last night, right before I go to bed. I scroll down, it says, you'll receive from Apple. I was like, oh yeah, here we go. And it was my HBO Now subscription renewal, so. Thanks for that.
It's like a kick in the teeth, it's amazing.
I really thought it was it. I was like, yes, this is it.
No. Yeah. But fortunately, he is a local. You can go along to AltConf, and there's Nextdoor, and there's Layer. There's probably TriSwift again. It's a fantastic week regardless.
Yeah, I saw that open calls for papers for AltConf just kind of got announced, so considering that as well. So yeah, it is a very long one-hour train ride away, but I'll suck it up. I'll make it down there.
Well, you know, I can say, you know, international speaker.
It's true.
They loved you in London. They loved you in Paris. You know? So you've got that on your CV now, you see?
Yeah, good to go.
Yeah. Well, also, I can recommend if you are there for the week, come and say hello. You can go and see his lovely mansion in San Francisco. I'll hang out there. He has a weekly podcast. I can go and hang out there, hopefully doing a live thing there.
Yeah, we'll definitely create a lot of content while we're there, for sure.
Yeah, recommended. Go and check it out. Recommended. Also in the news, we have finally SE250, the Swift Code Style Guidelines, is now a formal Swift evolution proposal. I said it in my talk at iOS Con this afternoon. It's the 250th proposal. Yep. It is a lot. It's a massive number. What a nice, it's not 256, it's not like a power of two, but it's still a good, nice, meaningful number.
Yeah. We talked about this last episode too a little bit because it was in proposal. So the news this episode is that it is now, you know, in review officially.
It's happening.
So going back to the structure of the show, it's a little weird for us to do a show this quick because we do them every 2 weeks and we just did one Monday. So it's only been 3 days. So we're like, what has happened in the past 3 days that we can talk about? So.
That's how fast Swift moves.
Exactly.
Now I can tell you for a fact, this has been in development for a long time. This project came actually out of Google. Remember the sort of like it was a flash scare thing. Google forked Swift a year ago. It wasn't forked, it's just a GitHub clone. But they had people there working on this since about April last year, and it's finally seeing fruition. Apple now seeing this as a good idea and worth adding in.
Yeah, we talked about this on the episode. I was a little against it at first. Like, I kind of like the style guides we have out there now. I don't know if we need an official
way of coding.
One. Exactly. As long as it agrees with me, it's great. But, so I don't know how I feel about this, but we'll see how it goes.
Well, talk to Nick Lockwood. He's here somewhere. He makes Swift Formats, one of two fantastic formatting tools we have in the community. There are questions out there whether we're going to see this will actually help or hurt that. Because we've seen SPM come out. SPM did slow down work on Carthage and CocoaPods. Everyone thought, oh, it's fine, SPM will take over. And we still haven't got iOS compatibility. So will Swift Format slow down? Will Swift Lint slow down? We're going to find out.
Hopefully in about 2 months we'll have SPM compatibility, hopefully. That's what we're hoping for, right? At DubDub?
That's, yeah. We're going to find out. I'll let you know. I'll live stream with you.
I'm sure we'll talk about it, yeah.
Cool. Also, we have SE0249, which is modifying the way we have key path expressions as functions. And this is a proposal from the Stephen, who also Greg. Stephen does Point Free, a fantastic advanced Swift regular video cast. And it lets us use key paths directly in function calls. So rather than having closures of stuff, we can now say, here's the key path much more clearly.
Is this just syntactic sugar? Is it just easier to write? Or is it performance boost? Or what was the motivation behind it?
So if you eliminate, because he gave an example in the proposal where you can have a custom operator. I think he uses the caret symbol. And this removes the caret symbol. And it sounds trivial. It's saving a few characters, right. But it does make it much clearer. And obviously, on brand always, he's all about point-free syntax.
Right.
If we can avoid passing in a closure to things, say, here's a function to call instead, it becomes much, much clearer. So it's another nice little, we talked today, I talk about paper cuts in Swift.
Yep.
It's another paper cut being salved over, getting a bit nicer to work with. So I think it's a great change.
Nice.
Hopefully we'll see you soon. So enough news, let's talk about our picks. Now normally I'd pick out something over the last week or two we've learned about Swift or about programming in general and why we like it so much. Obviously, we are live at one of the world's finest conferences, iOS Con in London. So we thought we're going to talk about some of our picks from this event, some things we liked about what went well in this event. Mm-hmm. So for me, a major highlight was the talk in the morning, the keynote from Gwen. Brilliant talk about inspiring us to do more with our code and our community and think about our responsibility inside the business. And it really made me think about what is my responsibility? What do I try and commit to in my code? And she starts with this fantastic quote from Annie Dillard, I think it's from, saying how we spend our time is how we spend our lives. Think beyond what you're doing right now, the habits you have today, the words you have today, the actions you have today, become weeks, become months, become years, and that was your whole life. And then she kind of went bigger from that, and then bigger from that into, why do we even code? And it became, really quite intense. I love this quote she gave us. Your code isn't just about building a better code base, it's about building a better business. And I know it's so easy to get stuck into, we're in the two-weekly scrum, and you have a meeting, and you have a retrospective, and you look at Jira tickets and so forth. And that matters, that's important, of course it's important. But it adds up, and it adds up, and it adds up. And why do we code? Why do you code, Sean? Why do you code?
You talk about my mansion. I got to pay rent in San Francisco. That's why I code, right? I can't have a normal job there and pay that rent.
Yeah, the swimming pool isn't for cheap, right?
No. Just to clarify real quick, I live in a small, small studio apartment. That is the joke. I do not have a mansion. Yeah, that's the running joke. He was in there recording a live stream last dub. He's like, where's the bathroom? I was like, it's over in the West Wing. Just walk over there into it.
The thing is, it's so easy to say, why do we code? Because it's there. Because it's like, a mountain to climb. Mm-hmm. But there's more than that. We're actually here to solve real-world problems. And to give some really clear-cut things, like I contribute to making a sustainable company by executing quickly, through codability and so forth. Really clear statements. This is how I personally make a difference in the bigger scheme of things. And answering these kinds of questions, asking them of yourselves and your colleagues, it's hard. It's intense. I thought this keynote, it was great. She's a very funny speaker. She's entertaining. She's exciting. Great to listen to. But it's not just a 40-minute keynote. I'm going to go away and probably watch that again and say, okay, what would I say this time? And re-answer those questions and think more and more and more. It was powerful stuff, I thought.
Yeah.
But actually, I had the privilege of spending 90 minutes with her yesterday talking about her book, recommended, by the way, Sean. It's called Intentional Friendships. It's a lovely book. It's on Gumroad. I recommend it very highly. But it's about, as an adult, what does it mean to make friends? And she asks the same sort of thing. Asks, like, here's a question. And it sounds like, oh, it's an easy question. But it's not. These are really hard questions you've got to dig into and think carefully about. What do I really believe to this? Not what's my Facebook highlight reel to this. What do I really believe the answer to this is?
Yeah, it's interesting, because I found, like, as I get older, like, obviously the friend pool kind of, like, falls away. It's hard to make new friends as an adult because you're set in your ways. Thankfully, actually, through the YouTube channel and, like, this community, me and Paul, like, I've made a lot of friends, you know, that way, now that my interests are leaning more towards, like, development and helping people out. So, yeah, it's interesting how you make friends as an adult versus, you know, growing up.
Well, speak to Gwen while she's here. She'll be hopefully here somewhere. Go and talk. I spent 90 minutes yesterday, and I tweaked this afterwards. If you see me at iOS Con, I'm just staring into space. I spent 90 minutes this afternoon talking to Purple Yay. My mind feels full and yet empty because she just asks questions again and again and makes you think. And you can, of course, say, oh, it's fine. I'm okay. Don't do that. You've got to really dig into it and ask harder stuff than that. So that's my best talk. I really love that talk. If you haven't seen it, listeners that listen to the podcast later on, go into the Skill Matters site for iOS Con. You can watch it back on there. Recommend it very highly. A second highlight was meeting Connie. She's here. And this is with permission, by the way, from her mother. I got to meet her today. She's 10 years old. She's gone through Apple's Everyone Can Code curriculum. She's made apps for ARKit and CoreML. And she's here thanks to Skills Matter. Now, if you're thinking, at my talk today, how can I contribute to our community? This is your chance. This is the next generation of coder right here being inspired by all of you. You've got to go and talk to these folks, ask to see their code, show an interest and be encouraging and be the motivator I know you can be. So I recommend you go and speak to her because it's just a wonderful experience. This is me saying that big fish I just caught, obviously. Anyway, Sean, what are your picks?
So my highlights of the conference are Neve Power's talk. Apologize, Neve, your talk wasn't online yet, so I couldn't get the beautiful screenshots of the talk like Paul did, showing me up a little bit here. So you get a blurry screenshot from the internet. Sorry, Neve, no disrespect. But I really enjoyed your talk just a little bit ago. Admittedly, I've always been one of those persons that said I'll just melt if I ever touch an Android phone. And her talk was actually about Android and iOS teams like working together and how they do that at her, I forget the name of the company. Monzo, that's what it was. Thank you. It was just up there. And she talked about how their team interacts because she is a cross-platform developer there. She writes both Android and iOS. And not going to lie, she kind of made me want to like dip my toes in Android water a little bit, talking about how like Kotlin is like very similar. And
this was the last episode of Swift Over Coffee. Saw it live.
Kotlin over coffee, the spinoff. It just was really interesting how their team worked. I liked a little small detail in their team that I think goes a long way, and that was, she called them semantic emojis. And that was, well, let me back up a little bit. So normally, you may have seen this, you have an iOS Slack channel and an Android Slack channel. You're just completely segregated. Like, get away from me, don't talk to me. But she recommended having a mobile Eng channel where both of them are in there, and then use the semantic emojis to tag it as, you know, this is an Android talk, this is an iOS talk. But I like that because we're all curious people, right? We all like to build things. I think even though you see the Android tag on it, you might read it, you're bored, and it just might spark interest, might spark curiosity. So that's why I kind of liked that idea behind that. And we don't have an Android team yet, but when we do, in my company, I definitely want to do that because, I think I would read some stuff, get curious. Yeah. Oh, let me try that. That's how I got into coding in the first place. I was just talking to my developers at a startup and started asking questions, and you know, here I am.
Yeah.
Do you work with Android at all? Or?
So, admission, I've done stacks of Android work. Never in Kotlin, I've done lots of Java work. I've built multiple large apps in Android. You know, I've written lots and lots of C#. I've written lots and lots of PHP and lots of JavaScript. You know, tens of thousands of lines, if not more, for each of those. I am an equal opportunity love giver. You know, that's why I describe myself. Because, you know, I've made games for Xbox 360. It's a fantastically interesting platform to work with. And I've taken ideas from that, and I ported them to SDL and Python for Linux, and ported that to iPhone. You know, if you assume for a second that Swift has all the answers, that UIKit's as good as it's going to get, that Xcode is the best ever we're going to see as an IDE, you're missing out on so much. I love all those things. Of course I do. It's not called Android over coffee.
Sure, yeah. The second highlight that wasn't a talk was, like, it's going to sound cheesy, but honestly, like, meeting all of you, a lot of people that have come up to me. For those that didn't see my talk or don't know who I am, I'm a YouTuber, so I put out videos all the time, see people interacting with me on Twitter. You know, I just talk into a camera. It's very hard to, you know, realize there's people behind those view counts and subscriber numbers.
Real.
You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. There's real people behind that. So I've had plenty of people come up and say, like, really love your videos. I got a job because of your videos. And that just like really hits home, because again, it's just hard for me to realize like the possible impact I'm having. So thank you to anyone that's came up to me. And if you haven't come up to me yet, because I don't know, for some weird reason, feel free to come up and say hi, because I really love talking to you. And it's been, that's been the highlight, honestly, is meeting everybody and talking to everybody here.
Yeah. So I recommend you go to his channel, youtube.com/SeanAllenDev. Is that right, Sean Allen?
There's no need for a plug, Paul. I just had a nice heartwarming moment. No, just kidding. Yeah, it's just youtube.com/SeanAllen.
And now we're speaking to literally tens of people who are now all subscribed to your channel, which is amazing. Recommend it very much. Okay, let's talk about Open Ballot, because we try and ask a question each podcast that we think is topical and interesting and get feedback from listeners to broaden the debate and get in different perspectives. And this time we asked the question, is it a good idea for a developer to be skilled in just one platform or to expand out? And you gave mysteriously the idea of Android as well. Is this a running thing?
A little bit, yeah.
I'm terrified. I don't even know you are anymore,
So iOS can't change me to you know, away from iOS, weird.
This is where you unzip your t-shirt and underneath this Android, ha ha! So we had stacked responses, more than usual, thanks to these lovely folks at IRSCon. Again, brilliant conference, great coffee. And we can group them into groups. We have one here saying a little knowledge is good. And a response from Kaya Thomas, who I obviously follow, as you can see. She gave a great speech here at IRSCon about notifications. I saw it in Amsterdam, love it very much. She said, good question. Thank you very much, Kaya. I think being skilled in both can be tough to pull off if you are working on one platform in your day job. But I think if possible, having the context of how both platforms work helps the app be consistent across platforms and helps team collaboration. So yes-ish. So it depends, right? The theme of the conference.
It depends on.
Depends on.
John.
Yeah. So I think what she's saying, I get the impression what she's saying, is that this is about shared vocabulary. And I used to work with designers like full-time. I did magazines for a long time, and working with InDesign and designers and Photoshop and so forth. And I'm not a designer. You've seen my website, right? I cannot design for anything whatsoever. But having that shared vocabulary, when they say things like, you know, the negative space here is not going to work, Paul, so you go, yeah, you're absolutely right. Terrible negative space there. But that shared vocabulary really matters, because you can start saying, they say things quickly. I'm going to explain what you mean by that. You just know what they mean. It's like when I say to you, oh, let's use generics here. You're not like, oh, yeah, what's a generic? You know what I mean straight away.
Yeah.
It's an understanding in the language.
Like if you were to ask me about like a testing question, and I just looked at you with like a blank stare,
the,
right?
The blank stare, the thousand-yard stare. Your eyes glaze over.
Testing,
yeah.
What?
He's not really a tester, Sean, you know? What else do we have, Sean?
So Mike Velu says, it's rare a person can understand, master both, but I think in order to fully understand a problem, you need to apply more than one solution. So if the problem is engineering mobile applications, knowing more than one solution, iOS and Android, can help build a more complete mental model. And it's, so we group these answers together. You notice those are probably kind of similar. Basically saying that, it's like you said, a shared language, right? You can have an understanding of the whole problem. You know, here's how we do it on iOS. Here's how we do it on Android. And like right now, I could only be like, oh, I could do that on iOS. Cool. Do it on Android. I'd have no clue. So at least have a good place to start and get the ball rolling.
But also you get ideas. You know, don't assume for a minute that, you know, it's brilliant videos and obviously world-class articles, whatever. But there are stacks of other people writing about Android and Haskell and Rust and JavaScript with amazing ideas that I encourage everyone here and listening to thieve. Just take them, steal them wholesale, because you know we have not got a monopoly in good ideas in iOS. We've barely got any good ideas in iOS compared to the size of the JavaScript community, which is 10 times the size and way faster. So go and thieve their ideas. What's the Steve Jobs quote? You know, great artists steal.
Yeah.
Steal.
Just don't steal material design. Just don't do that.
Yeah, not that. Okay. Anything but
leave
that.
Leave that one.
We have some questions here about yes. You should know more than one. Let's find out what we have to say. Our score says, friend of the show, Christoph Grinberg says, I think yes. Especially if your company develops apps for both platforms, also see what's there, and maybe pick up best practice from the other side. So I don't know how many folks in the audience actually share code across platforms.
Crickets.
Yeah, so for listeners, basically no one put their hand up. It's one of those things that in theory, fantastic. You can just use Flutter, you can just use React Native, you can just use Xamarin. The theory is totally there. Write once, run anywhere. Practice. Different ball game, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a silver bullet that doesn't exist, in my opinion.
Yeah. But you can get ideas. You can get best practices, can't you?
Sure, yeah.
Hopefully.
All right.
Or worst practices. I mean, like, have you seen Gradle on Android?
No, I haven't.
Wow. Anyway, what's next, Sean?
So Robin, who's also here, gave a great talk on cellular view controllers. Says, great question, highly exclamation point. My answer would be yes, but am I, is it humble opinion or honest opinion?
Honest,
all right, I've seen it.
Show of hands.
Yeah.
Who thinks it's honest opinion? No one, you're all wrong, it's humble opinion.
No, all right, anyway. In my humble opinion, doing something non-mobile, back-end, game dev, et cetera, is more valuable than learning another mobile platform. So Robin isn't necessarily saying, yes, you should learn Android, but where I agree with this is I think expanding into, like I said, back-end, game dev, elsewhere will definitely make you a more rounded developer, and I just think it's probably more interesting, at least in my opinion. So I really like Robin's answer here.
One thing, going to Nick Lockwood, I enjoy following Nick on Twitter, because he regularly tweets out game stuff. I think what I found, once you've made any game once, you've been bitten by the game dev bug. Doesn't matter where you go afterwards, you're always thinking, oh, look at this cool pathfinding algorithm here. It never leaves you. That could, the demo scene or shaders.
Right.
There's so much fun out there in other platforms.
In the app I'm making, that if you saw my talk, I showed screenshots of it, Aluna, it's not a game, but we're just gamifying something small, and I'm literally using the bare bones basic sprite kit, nothing crazy, but you're right, I got the bug. And now the next app I want to make is absolutely a game. I already have the idea. I caught that bug, like you said.
Sprite kit. We have some answers that can hinder my learning. One here saying, from Swifty McSwiftface.
Best name.
As an iOS developer, I feel like I still have so much to learn about iOS that time put on Android would be the expense of iOS. Perhaps I consider multiple platforms when I feel like I'm close to mastering iOS. Does anyone master iOS?
Besides me, or?
It's moving, it's always changing. Once a year, Apple go, and hey, guess what? There's 10,000 new APIs, and a new Swift version, and new devices, and I'm not sure you can really master it.
No, it's a moving target, it's impossible.
Yeah, so folks often ask me, Paul, how do you do books about watchOS, and tvOS, and macOS? And I follow the Sherlock Holmes approach. I will eject all of one thing from my brain, forget my wife's name and kid's name for a while, totally inhale macOS for 8 weeks, 12 weeks, 16 weeks, even longer, live, breathe it, constantly writing, and then when I'm finished, eject that and think, what's next? I'm always noodling with new things. It is hard.
Yeah.
What do you have here, Sean?
So Richard Lowe, who's also, I don't know if he's in the audience today, I saw him yesterday.
Yeah.
There he is. He says, I believe it's important to learn skills from more than one platform or language, but if you try to learn them together, there's a danger they may become a jack of all trades and a master of none. Learn one really, really well before learning the second. And I love this approach, and it's actually the approach I'm taking with my career. Again, if you don't know my background, I only know Swift. I haven't messed with anything else, and that was an intentional choice, because I believe what he says here is I want to, maybe 4 or 5 years from now, once I feel like I have a really good grasp on Swift, then I'll probably branch out. But I've chosen the specialization route. And that's just my opinion, right? There's nothing wrong with being a generalist. I do believe learning more than one language, more than one platform, does make you more well-rounded. But again, I think it's a personal choice. I think both are valid options.
Yeah. So fun fact for you all, my very first iPhone OS app shipped 10 years ago this year. It was called Flashzilla. It was rejected by Apple. It had the word Flash in its title. They were like, oh my god, Flash! No, rejection. But they obviously explained to them, they approved it. And the app was a language learning app, flashcards app, for me to use, because I used to learn multiple at a time. I was curious in linguistics rather than the language itself. So I'd have English word on one side, and on the back would be Greek, Japanese, and French at the time. So you'd have to do all three at the same time. And it's intense. It really screws your head a little bit, because you start mixing up languages quite easily. And now, 10 years on, I think, how much Spanish do I actually remember? Only the comedy phrases, yo quiero comprar una bigota falsa para mi perro. I'd like to buy a false mustache for my dog. I am never going to use that in practice, but I remember it really damn well.
I just know cervezas, that's all I know.
There you go, the important stuff. Okay, Sean, take it away.
Yeah, so, I don't know if we should, do we do our normal wrap-up here? Tell how prepared we are right now.
Nah, they can wait.
Normally we wrap up here, saying thank you, for watching Swift Over Coffee. Now, normally it's listening, but thanks for watching.
Yeah.
Everybody out there, thank you for listening. We don't have next week's open ballot.
We don't.
No.
We'll put it online.
We'll put that on the page. But anyway, thank you for listening. Like you said, this was a little weird for us. We don't do it normally this way, so we would love feedback in case we ever decide to do something like this again. Maybe not after. But let us know what you think, and thanks for listening/watching.
We are Swift Over Coffee on Twitter. He's Sean Dev. I am Two Straws. You've been a great audience. Thank you very much.